But it's a joy to be here. I would like to commend the church on your support, prayerful support, and the financial support each and every month. As we discussed during the Sunday school, I think it's been since around 1978 that the church has supported us, and that's been a tremendous blessing for us to have churches that have been with us. We have several, I don't know how many, I need to count them up, but that has been with us ever since we started in the missions, and that's the encouragement to know somebody's staying with you, amen, through the years, and even though through the ups and through the downs and the problems and opportunities that we'll have, I'm glad the church has stayed with us, and also I'd like to commend the church on the musical ability that the church has. You would be surprised how many churches we go into don't even have a piano player. Don't have any music at all. We got some churches down our way, even riding down the road, you'll see on the church sign, need pianists, we'll pay. Talk about putting my name in. Amen. But I don't play good enough, most of them. Most of my music I play by ear, so my ears are short. Amen. But enjoyed the music this morning, the choir, everything. We just enjoyed being here, and hope it'll be a blessing to you, the message. And open your Bibles, please, in Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. Preacher, what time? I'm generally asking for, and I forgot. What time are you generally in?
2.
2 o'clock? All right. You have to go out there and get my Gatorade, amen.
About
11:30. About 11:30, okay. I'll do my best to be done. 11:30 somewhere in the world. I may make it to 2:30 in Brazil because we're 2 hours ahead of us, amen. But Matthew chapter 1, we'll begin reading in verse 18. And if you're able, if you will, would you stand with us for the reading of the Word of God to give the bench a break from your weight? Stimulate your blood a little bit so you don't go to sleep on the message. I'm such a quiet preacher. Amen. I've had a few of them in my big mouth go to sleep. That's amazing to me. All I can say to them, God bless them. Amen. They can sleep through my big mouth. Amen. They deserve to sleep. My dad always said he appreciated members that left their soft mattress to come to church to sleep on the hard pew while he preached. Amen. Appreciate their sacrifice. Back then, didn't have padded pews. It was just hard pews. Amen. And so some people still do that. Some Baptists got real good, though. They ain't sleep with their eyes open. Amen. They don't know nothing's going on, but they're there. Amen. Matthew 1, 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately or privily. And while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning for the privilege we have of being in the house of God. We thank you for this dear pastor, his wife and family, for the members of this church and all that are here may even be visiting. But I pray, Lord, and those that are listening by live stream, I pray, Lord, you speak to our hearts today. Father, we need your help as we preach the word of God. Realize, Lord, we're not anything without you. We can do nothing. And Father, I pray, Lord, you bless this ministry. May souls be saved. May the church house be filled with people to hear the word of God. Well, thank you, Lord, for all that you do. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to try to be dignified today and preach my coat off, but I won't guarantee nothing. Amen. I've got used to being in Brazil. We have two temperatures there most of the time, hot and hotter. And we don't have air conditioning. Some of them have fans, some of them don't have that. Praise the Lord, a few of our churches are starting to get air. I don't mean to make that a priority in all the churches. Amen. It helps me out when I go preach for them. But if I can make it, I will. If I can't, I'll take it off. Amen. But I want to preach for a little while this morning, the Lord to help us. It is exactly 11:07. Amen. I can't read a watch. It just don't mean much. But I'll try to be brief as I can this morning, finish up the message. Anybody drove over an hour to come to church? Our brother here did. This sister here did. All right. All four of us, we got the longest to go. Amen. But I'll try to be brief. Amen. The preacher, if you don't get mad at him, he's going to take me to eat. Amen. So I don't want to preach too long. Amen. But I want to preach on this thought. A baby changes things. A baby changes things. A baby coming into a home changes things. I did not see any new babies preach this in Brazil. We had two newborn babies in the service that night. And a few other, one other place I preached had a newborn baby. But I'm not that old to remember when a baby came into our home, when Christian was born in 74, there's some changes came in our lives. One thing, you lose all your liberty. You lose your independence, amen. You can't just take off and go somewhere like you always can. We giving counsel to people getting married, you always encourage the couples, if they're young, to wait at least 3 years before they have any children. Give time for them to have a good honeymoon, to know each other, and have a good time together. Because once kids start, things change, amen. Things change. Sleep habits change. A lot of crying going on sometimes. I praise the Lord, we had two children. Christy was born in 74. Then she was 6 years old when we went to Brazil. And in 82, Jonathan was born. He was born in Brazil. He is American and Brazilian. He says he's Brazilian and American. Amen. And there. But praise the Lord, our babies, neither one of them got their days and their nights mixed up. I've heard stories about that where they sleep during the day and cry all night. Amen. That kind of messes things up. Amen. And my wife always took care of the children because I was working generally full time back then, except for Jonathan, who was on the field. But she took care of that. But feeding times are different. A baby don't always get hungry when you do. They get hungry sometimes a little faster, and sometimes during the night. And, you know, a baby's interesting. You know, a baby learns to lie real quick. Do you know that? Baby learns to lie real quick. During the night, 3 o'clock in the morning, you hear a squealing, you think a rat's in the baby bed, chewing the toe off of the kid, and you go flying in, you hit your foot on the bed, you hit your head on the door, trying to get there to see what's going on, and you turn the light on, the baby looks at you and goes, They learn real quick. If they cry, they get attention. Amen. And they can even lie when they're young. But it's a joyful celebration to have children in the home. But it does change things. And that's the base for the scripture this morning we read. A baby changed some things. And I want us to see three or four things real quickly this morning that this particular baby changed like no other baby has changed things. First of all, this morning, it changed history. The Bible said, we read a verse here, Isaiah 7:14, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. I want to tell you something that changed history. I was studying this message just a while back. I've had the message. I got the thought from some other messages. It's not original with me, but I've developed my own message off of it. But there's something jumped out of me just the other week when I was reading this, getting ready to preach the message, that in this text, the Bible said, behold, a virgin. I never had paid attention to that till that particular day. I always thought about the virgin. But God said, behold, a virgin. Back in Isaiah 7:14, I believe Mary was already in God's sights. God, he knows everything that's going to happen. Amen. A Baptist got scared of the word of providence of God, but God knows everything. And I praise God that he does. Amen. I'm glad he don't tell me everything. Somebody said, oh, it's got to tell me everything he's doing. No, you don't. If you did know, you'd be scared to do anything. Hello. God told us everything we was going to go through in Brazil. Hey, no way I'd got on a plane. That's not good English, but it's good preaching. Amen. But God knows everything. Behold, a virgin shall conceive. Micah 5:2. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from old and from everlasting. Many prophecies were spoken about Jesus coming. And a lot of people give up on it. A lot of the Jews give up on it. And when he did come, they still did not believe that the Messiah had come. And even today as a whole, the Israel does not believe Jesus was the Messiah. Now somehow, they are saved Jews. I've met some. And probably a lot more than we know of. But as a nation, they still are looking for the Messiah to come in power and in glory. But he came as a babe in a manger, son of a carpenter. That wasn't the leader they were looking for. But now the darling Son of God is here upon earth to fulfill his Father's will. Jesus is here. Redemption is to be made for all mankind. Not some of mankind, but all of mankind. I'm glad everybody can be saved. We'll see that probably a little bit later on. And all a sinner's got to do is repent of his sin, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and Jesus will save him or her. Amen. It makes no difference. God will save. And all, he died on the cross to save all mankind. He changed history. Let me give you a second thing today. For second of all, he changed homes. He changed home. He changed this home. Joseph was engaged or espoused to Mary. But all at once, Mary is pregnant. In those days, by the law, Mary would be taken outside the city and stoned to death. It was serious business back then. And it's to be serious business now. Amen. I don't have time to preach on that. Though I throw that in for nothing. Amen. But Joseph loved Mary. He was, the Bible said, a just man. He wanted to do right by Mary. And he was going to put her away privately or privily, whichever way you want to say it. But he was going to put her away till the child was born. And after they were married, and then everything would be all right, officially married. But Jesus was born to Joseph and Mary. God told Joseph, don't be afraid to take her as your wife. What's in her is the Holy Ghost. Don't tell you something. I don't know about you, but that take a lot of more faith than what we give account for. Amen. That was supernatural. That was not a normal conception. Mary conceived of the Holy Ghost. That's all I'm going to say. All I've got to say today is that. And Joseph believed him. I wish some Baptists would believe our preaching. Amen. And a lot of Baptists don't believe, but preacher, I just didn't realize it would happen. Well, yeah, well, I told you. Hello, did you take notes? Huh? Are you listening? Hello? I had a friend of mine, he's always stopped during the message, said, are you listening? Are you listening? But I'm sure that some people wouldn't. Amen. But Luke 2 tells us all about this story and more. And he changed many homes after he was born, after he became a man, after he was baptized and he started earthly ministry. He changed many other homes. He changed the blind man's home. The blind man couldn't see. He was born that he was blind. But when he met Jesus, Jesus touched him, and he could see. And the Bible said he changed his home. Home of Lazarus. Lazarus died. He was a friend of Jesus. Jesus visited their home many a time. But Lazarus got sick, and he was in another town preaching. And Mary sent for him, said, "Come, my brother is sick." And Jesus, the Bible said, we may not understand it all, but the Bible said Jesus tarried 2 more days. Most preachers, when they find somebody's real bad and they need to pray, they'll leave whatever they're doing and fly right back to where they are. I remember one day we went up to Indiana. We had a camp meeting up there. And one of our pastor friends from Monroe, North Carolina, had got his stuff out of his car, and he took it into the motel room, and the cell phone rung, and he picked the cell phone up, and one of his members had died. He put his stuff right back in the car, turned around in Indiana, drove all the way back to Monroe, North Carolina. That's generally what a pastor does. But Jesus tarried 2 more days. You know why? He had power that we don't have. He wanted to show the power that God could do. When he got back, Mary said, "Lord, if you'd been here 2 days earlier, you could have probably helped him." And Jesus said those famous words, "I am the resurrection." Hey, she wasn't looking for a resurrection, but Jesus said, "I am the resurrection." And the Bible said Jesus cried. And somebody asked why Jesus cried there at the tomb. And one fellow said he cried because you don't have to bring Lazarus back. Lazarus might have been holding on to the pearly gates, didn't want to come back. Amen. But he called and he said, "Lazarus, come forth." And somebody said, "Why did he say that?" Because if he just said, "Come forth," everybody in the graveyard got up. But he said, "Lazarus, come forth." And the Bible said he rose from the dead. And he got up out of the tomb. The man from Gadara. He was leaving with over 2,000 demons on the inside. Don't know about you, but that don't look like encouraging. I want to tell you something. That man, when he met Jesus, Jesus liberated him. The Bible said he was sitting clothed in his right mind at the feet of Jesus. And I believe, Brother Bray, I believe he was sitting there saying, "Preach, Jesus, let it rip." I said, "Preacher, you're crazy." "I know, but I'm having a good time." Amen. The Bible said he changed him. Can you imagine when that man from Gadara went home for the first time? Clothed. May have had a suit and a tie on. I don't know. But when he walked, come over the hill to the house, kids run and slid under the bed. And a wife probably went and locked herself in the bedroom. Because the Bible said he was a very bad man. But when he got closer home, I believe he was singing Amazing Grace. So, preacher, you're crazy. Singing Amazing Grace? How you know he wasn't? Amen. He was singing something different than what he'd been used to. And they saw a difference in him. He changed that man's life. And he changed many more. And he's still changing lives today. When I preached this in Brazil, I began to point out some of the men in our church that God had changed their lives. They were drunkards. And they were lost in sin. And God saved them. And some of them are preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ now. What are you talking about, preacher? God changed his life. So, well, preacher, God can't change mine. Oh, yeah, he can. God never met a man or a woman, a boy or a girl that he can't change. Never. God has all the power. He changed homes. But let me say, give you the third thing today is 11:20. Amen. I still got time. It changed heathens. It changed heathens. He came into his own, but his own received him not. Jesus came into the Jews. The Jews were God's chosen people. Abraham was the first Jew. God set him apart, set the nation apart. Said, "I'm going to bless thee. I'm going to multiply thy seed." And God chose the Jews to bring the Messiah into the world. But when the Messiah come, they rejected him. But I say stuff that kind of shocks people sometimes, but I want to say this morning, go on record, to say you're taping it back there, so I'm on record. I'm glad they did. Why? Because if they hadn't, we probably wouldn't be here. If the Jews had welcomed Jesus, if they had welcomed him in as the Messiah, by my understanding of the Bible, the millennium would already went in. We'd never been born because we were dogs in the sight of the Jews. We're Gentiles. And they would even spit on us with on fire. They thought nothing of the Gentiles, but Jesus did. Amen. Jesus loved everybody. But he came into his own received him not, but the gospel was open to the Gentiles. Peter was one of the first ones in Acts. A man from Macedonia cried for help. Cornelius was saved. His house was saved. The gospel was opened up. Apostle Paul became apostle to the Gentiles. And he began to preach around the continents of that time to the Gentiles. Jesus saved. Jesus saved. Jesus saved. I got good news. He's still saving today. Still saving today. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. It works the same thing in Portuguese. Porque Deus amou o mundo de tal maneira que deu seu filho unigênito por todo aquele que nele crê. Não pereça, mas tenha a vida eterna. João 3:16. Have the same Savior that saves us here, saves people in Brazil, all around the world. People are getting saved. You know why? Jesus loves all the people of the world. You sing that song coming up. Jesus loves all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white. They're precious in his sight. Jesus loves the children of the world. I'm glad to say he loves the world. And he's still saving people. Amen. He's still saving people. That's why we give the missions. Hello? That's the reason we give out tracts. Huh? It's interesting when you're preaching what kind of looks you get. Amen. But give out tracts. You know, there's going to be a lot of Baptists going to go to heaven, never give out one gospel tract. How you know? Well, I've met them. Hello? And a lot of people you can tell never give it out just when you mention it from the pulpit. Kind of like tithing. You preach on tithing, I'm not going to do that today. But if you preach on tithing, you can tell who the tithers are and who the tithers ain't. Hello? The non-tithers get red. The Adam's apple starts going up like a window shade. Amen. They'll change color 3 or 4 times. I ain't preached in a church. I never preached in before. Never seen nobody. I ain't preached on tithing. I can tell you about who the tithers are. Hello? I'm going to tell you, that's where you can give out tracts. Tell others about Jesus. I'm going to tell you, I fail in doing what I should on giving out tracts. Need to give out more tracts. Tell people about Jesus. Preacher's kind of joking with us a while ago, but he said, go out and on the other side of the street and flag people in. Boy, that'd be great, wouldn't it? I had a friend of mine down in Greenville. He got a burden for lost people getting saved in the church. He had a bunch of church people come in from another church, a couple of churches, and it looked like everything was going real good for a while. And they got kind of whiffed at him, and he began to preach this, go out into the highways and the hedges and bring them in. And one person got a burden for that, went out and started bringing in some people that were drug addicts. You know what happened? Woo! Pow! The gospel worked. And God began to save drug addicts. And it's right funny, my son's name's Jonathan. His wife's name's Heather. And the director of music name was Jonathan, and the wife's name was Heather. And they got upset with that. Told him, said, we don't want those kind of people in our church. And the pastor looked at him. He was a good friend of mine. He looked at him. He said, well, you're in the wrong church. Amen. Hello. Because that's who Jesus came for. That's right. He didn't just come for the good folk. He came for the bad folk, the medium folk, whoever. God came to save, amen, and God still saves today. I was in church in Houston, Texas back in 79. I don't know how old he's gotten the message, preacher, but I'll try to get done here in about 5 minutes. Try. I make a lot of promises I can't keep, but I'll try. But I was out there in 79 at Houston, in Houston at Shady Acres Baptist Church. Jack Woods was the pastor at that particular time. He's in glory now. But I'd never been there before, didn't know the man that well. And I was sitting on the front row. All at once he looked at me and he said, "Come here." He was sitting up on the pulpit. I went up there and sat down beside him. He said, "You never been here before, have you?" I said, "No, sir." "So I want you to look out there," and he pointed back to the earth. He said, "See that guy right there?" And I remember how he described him, but I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "His name's Robert," which happened to be my name. So that kind of tied me in with him. He said, "He used to sleep right outside the church here next to the fence in a cardboard box." He said, "But we took the gospel to him. He got saved." I said, "Amen." He said, "See his wife?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "She was a prostitute." Said, "Either one of them, if you took a gun and shot them, said it wasn't, you'd been wasting the gunpowder in the bullets." But he said, "God saved them. God put them together. They got married." He began to, he taught, and over 80% of the church, I mean, I'm saying, this is going, service is going on. I'm getting a lesson on the church. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, by what he described, 80% of the church was drunks, prostitutes, all type of the people that you, most churches wouldn't want. Drug addicts, but God saved them. I just sat there a few years ago. You know who's in the church now? The sons and the daughters and the grandkids of those people. That Robert, he showed me, I was out there, they have a prayer meeting every Saturday night, and we went to prayer meeting that night, and Robert raised his hand and said, "Preacher," said, "I got a prayer request." He said, "Sure, Robert, what is it?" He said, "Pray that I can sell my house. We're going to buy a trailer." Now, I have to confess, right up front, we lived in a trailer when we first got married. We bought a 10 by 50 trailer. I fit wall to wall. I lay down on the floor. We couldn't even have a good fight. There wasn't enough room. Hey, man, we stood it for 1 year. My dad bought a house. I paid him rent, and we paid a guy to take the trailer. Hey, man. Now, I said, "Could I ask you a question?" After prayer meeting was over, I said, "Robert, why do you want to sell your house to live in a trailer?" He said, "Well, Brother Smith," he said, "me and my wife were talking the other day." He said, "We're giving all we can give to the church in tithes." He said, "We're giving all we can give to missions. And we decided if we could sell the house and buy the trailer, we could give more money to missions." I felt about that talk. A guy willing to sell his house so that I can stay on the mission field. So what are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about God can change homes. That church just this past year, I think, was $200,000 they give the missions. They run about 200 people, and none of them are rich. They just learned the joy of giving. Amen? So what are you talking about? God changes homes. Amen? God changes homes. Now, let me get the last thing, and I'm closing. Amen? My dad said, "I lie when I start closing because I didn't say that two or three times." But it changed heaven when this baby came. I'm diabetic, so I drink water. I apologize. My mouth gets dry. In creation, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit created everything. Genesis gives us a count of everything that God done. And 2,000 years ago, God's love vacated heaven of his only precious Son to die at Calvary so that you and I could have salvation. But I'll tell you something. For 33 and a half years of our time, heaven was vacate the Son of God. I doubt the angels understood what was going on when Jesus left. When he came to earth, I don't know. I have thought about it. But I don't know if the angels could look over and see all the suffering that Jesus suffered. I mean, we read it. We think about it. But it really don't dawn on us all the suffering that Christ went through before he died at Calvary. And I'm not going to try to describe it this morning. But I want to tell you something. I believe if they could look on, I believe the angels were weeping. I believe there was sadness in heaven when Jesus left and came to earth. But let me tell you something. Jesus did what he was supposed to do. And when they sighed, God said, I'm going to send some angels to sing to the shepherds. I believe, Brother Bray, with all my heart, there's a lot of volunteers. A lot of volunteers for the choir. Now you can't hardly get people to get in the choir. But I believe that day, I believe they had hands all over heaven. I believe the Lord said, Lord, have mercy. We got a bunch of people wanting to go sing. And I believe they've made the heavens ring loud with praises unto the Lord when he came to heaven. But when he left, he was here. And on the cross, he cried, it is finished. And he died. He didn't swoon. He died. And they buried him in a tomb. And the devil had a party in hell. He thought it was over. 3 days and 3 nights. He was in the tomb. Everything looked good for the devil. But on that third and glorious morning, Sunday morning, what about that? Don't know what time, but it's sometime before dawn, Jesus decided it's time to get out of here. And hell couldn't hold him. Death couldn't hold him. And Jesus got up. Somebody said, why did they move the stone? They didn't move the stone for Jesus to get out. He could have walked right through the rock. He took the stone away so everybody could look in. See that he wasn't there. And several did that. They got there, Mary and the other Mary. And then the two disciples, they went. And one's brake job wasn't too good. He couldn't get stopped. He went flying right on through. Amen. Went into the tomb. I'm going to tell you something. Jesus got up. And in 50 days, he ascended back to heaven. Now, my thought in closing is this. When Jesus got up out of the grave, he also changed heaven. Heard a preacher, a friend of mine preached a couple of years ago on the prodigal son. He never gave a title to his message to the very end. And the title of his message was this, it's party time. Because the son got home. I'm going to tell you something. It was party time in heaven when Jesus got back. I mean, I can just imagine what heaven was when Jesus went back through the pearly gates and all the angels seen him. You're talking about some chorus breaking out. You're talking about some praise breaking out. Some glory. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, when we get to heaven, I'm going to get to teach people how to say amen. God's already got it prepared for me, a bunch of places I'm going to teach Baptists how to say, amen, hallelujah, glory to God. Woo! Why? Because most Baptists ain't never done that. Only time they holler is at a ball game. I ain't against ball, but I tell you what excites me is church. What excites me is Jesus, amen. I'll tell you something, it excited heaven when Jesus got back, it changed heaven. Changed it when he left, but it changed it when he got back. You know what? He's still there. And he's seated at the right hand of the Father. And I'll be honest with you. I believe he's sitting there kind of looking over at the Father. Waiting. The preacher, what you waiting on? He's just waiting on this. Son, go get your bride. Poof. He'll be gone. So, preacher, you're crazy. Probably so. I don't believe there's no dust in heaven, and women says. You clean the house, by the time you get back from other room, you already got dust. But if there is any dust in heaven, I believe Jesus is going to stir it up when he takes out. How many of you remember when you got married? You men, women, remember that. Yeah, I remember that. Remember that Sunday? We got married on a Sunday afternoon at 1 o'clock. We're spiritual. Amen. But we found out real quick, couldn't nobody hardly get there. Because by the time service was over, they didn't have time to get, so they wouldn't have many people there. Of course, to be honest with you, there wasn't but three people I was interested in being there in there. It's me and her and my dad. That's all I cared about being there. If he got us married, we was gone. Amen. But we got married on Sunday afternoon. And I remember that. We just had two little old things of flowers. And we had an arch, I think. And that's it. We kind of cheapskates on that. The diamond I give her, they had to use a magnifying glass to find the diamond. Amen. That's all I could do. But we got married. Been married 51 years. We'll make it to June, be 52. Somebody said, how in the world do you keep her 51 years? I said, it's easy. Easy, 51 years. I said, yeah, the keeper of supports can't leave town. Amen. But just think about it. Jesus is getting ready to come get his bride. And when the brother Ben talked before church tonight, this morning, you know, I don't believe we're too far from the rapture. I wished I knew the exact date and the exact time. I believe I know the time. I just don't know the date. I believe it's Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock. Because Jesus said, the hour that you think not, the Son of Man cometh. And there ain't no Baptist looking for him at 10 o'clock in the morning. That's written, a lot of them ain't even here. Amen. But he's going to show up one of these days. Maybe morning, maybe night, maybe a midnight cry. Don't know. But he's going to send out the cry. Come up. It'll be the only time in history all Baptists will be on time. Amen. And we're going to go to heaven to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Well, I'm looking forward to that. I don't know about you. I'm looking forward to seeing Jesus face to face. Amen. Don't know what it's going to be like. But Psalm puts it like this. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. Sing it one time with me. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon his face. The one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. Let's stand to our feet, head bowed, eyes closed. The pastor's coming. Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning for the attention, for the people and the time we've had to share your word. Father, we hope something's been said that'll be encouragement to the people and to the church, to this dear pastor. Father, we're glad you came. Father, we can never thank you enough for living glory to come here to save old wretched sinner like myself. Father, I ask you, Lord, you'd help us today to be one here today that does not have that surety that they're going to heaven. That today will be the day they'll make the call and election sure in Jesus. And Father, we as Christians, would you help us to examine our lives, to see, Father, if we're serving you as we should. Father, if we're living for you as we should. If we're being as faithful as we should. I pray, Lord, you speak to our hearts, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Pastor, service is yours.